I'd like to call the meeting, the 91st meeting of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council to order, please. As we begin, I'd like to swear in our newest member, Carl Richco. Carl, would you come up, please? Would you raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me? I state your name.
I, Carl Richco.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
True faith and allegiance to the same.
And the governments established in the United States and in this state.
To the governments established in the United States and in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And that I will faithfully. Impartially.
Impartially.
And justly.
Justly.
Perform all the duties.
Perform all the duties.
Of the office of council member of New Jersey Highlands Council.
New office of council member of the New Jersey Highlands Council.
Council. According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Thank you. Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Forming marriages was easy, right? Is that right?
Say a few words.
Yes, well, hold on, I'll try to give you an opportunity. Give us your mind. I like when a man wants to speak. Okay. Is there anyone on the phone?
This is Maura Tully, Governor of the Authority Unit.
Maura Tully, thank you. Maura Tully from the Governor's Authorities Unit. My name is Jack Schreier, I'm the acting chairman of the New Jersey Highlands Council, and Julie's already left. And I'm a former mayor of Mendham Township, and a member of the Township Committee still, and Morris County Freehold. And let's go from Carl, and if you wouldn't mind, just tell us who you are and where you're from.
I'm Carl Richco, I'm from West Milford, I'm a former mayor of West Milford. I know, taking John's seat on council, I know I have big shoes to fill, and I will do my best. I look forward to working with the members of council and the Highlands staff in reaching the goals of the Highlands Act. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jen Scope, City Kovach, Town of Clinton, Murray County.
Bob Holdaway, Mayor of Bedminster Township, Somerset County.
Tracy Carluccio, Public Representative, Hunterdon County.
Bill Cocker, Mayor of Chester Township.
Beanie Letts, Precipity Township, Morris County.
Mike Francis, Councilman, Blackhawk Borough, Vice Chair, Sussex County Planning Board.
Kurt Olson, Public Member of Chester Township.
Thank you. This meeting has been advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. Would you please stand and join us in a pledge of allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have minutes of the meeting of December 17th. May I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Certainly.
Any comments on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Four score. And 10 meetings. We embarked on this journey with the New Jersey Water Protection and Planning Council. We have come a long way in the last 5 years. We have the regional master plan, which was painfully agonizing, but vigorously and enthusiastically debated, and was adopted on July 17th, 2008. That in itself is a tremendous achievement. I'm happy to be chairing this meeting, but I miss John Weingart already. In my view, John was exemplary. In the literal meaning of the word, he set a good example. His demeanor, above all, really helped these meetings run very smoothly. And so, it's great that I'm here, but I'm sorry that he's not here, because we serve very well together. I guess you really want to talk about the truth. We had a little bit of a rocky beginning, but subsequently we became like-minded in a great many ways, and I think developed a mutual admiration for each other. He sent me a nice email after hearing that I was going to be chairing this meeting, and said he thought it was rather ironic that he had learned so much from me, and I'm saying that I'm going to be following his shoes. But I don't think it's ironic at all. I learned a great deal from John, as I learned from everybody on the council, those who are here now, those who were here before. We've had a great ride here in the city of Oakland. Of all the things that I have done in my political career going back for 20 years, this is one of the things, there's no question. I think there are only four founding mothers and fathers left on this council now. I and you.
And Janice, and there's five.
And Kurt. So there's been some turnover, and there will continue to be turnover. I want to express appreciation, since I'm in a position to do that, once you get the microphone, you turn me up sometimes. But an extreme appreciation to Eileen Swan, Tom Borden, every member of the staff who attends these meetings and those we don't see in the meetings. You have all made this possible, and without you all, also want to commend the members of the public, especially those members who did diligently attend these meetings. Without your participation, and that includes all of you, these meetings would be far less interesting. Sure, maybe briefer, but far less interesting. So I'm very pleased that you're all here. With a new governor and an administration now settling in, the likelihood is that we may see some changes on the Highlands Council still to come. But I have every expectation that Governor Christie and his administration will understand and do understand the requirements of the Highlands Act and the need for water protection and other resources that we are protecting in the Highlands, and will help us keep those promises that we made under law and through the activities that we have all engaged in since, I guess, 1991. So, we're all dedicated to the cause of resource protection in the Highlands. We call it whatever we want, but that's what it is. I do want to say that I hope that the new administration pays attention to the Act's provision for fair and just compensation to municipalities and landowners who have been adversely affected. That's the law. There has been scant attention paid to it, it seems to me, except through some procedures that we know exist, but they don't seem to have gone far enough. And I don't know where that money's going to come from. I don't have the answer to that. But I hope that some people put their minds to it and pay attention to it. And also, I hope that attention is paid toward that other component of the task force report, which I think Swan and I were members of the task force, which was the economic viability measure. It's in the Act, certainly in the task force report. But I don't know that we've done the kind of diligence to that as a council that we really should be doing. We're talking about farms, the viability of farms. But once again, I would hope that we would pay some attention to that as a council and see where we might be able to boost that. Council members are invited to have comments at this time. Kurt? Ms. Clark? No.
I'll wait for the end. I think your comments are quite appropriate and right on. The concern throughout the state, the Act is necessary, and I think we need to pay attention that we don't create a sort of baby out with the backwater. In the interest of fairly compensating people, I think that will make it exception. I think we're a long way with the TDR study. I think if we can find a way to make that work, if the legislation passes to make
statewide thing, that would certainly be a help for the success of hope. People throughout the state, not just in our area, that's directly affected by pay attention to the necessity of protecting water that they use. And that's something we're obligated to do. So your comments are spot on.
I've been very honored to be a part of this from the very beginning. And I just want to add my comments to the fact that John Weingart did just a tremendous job in bringing us together in a very complex mission that we had to accomplish. And I know a lot of people have complained that we were late getting the plan completed, but I think that it was underestimated what a mammoth task that it was. And I also think that our staff, Tom and Eileen, have done a fantastic job. But I would also like to agree with Mr. Schreier in his comment that we have to also be very attentive, as well as to the protection of our water and preserving our land, to the issue of equity, to the people's lands that we've impacted by our act, and also to continue to be aware that we also have to have a certain understanding of the need to continue and preserve our economy in this area. So that's all my comments.
I would tell you, I'm going to miss John an awful lot. Having chaired a few meetings in my life, I know just how difficult it is to maintain your composure in front of some of the impossibilities that we have confronted on this council. He was always of good spirit and charm and had a lot of wisdom. And I'm sure that I probably would have not been able to accomplish much of that John sitting there. As for the, the act, Governor Christie said something interesting about people that were born and raised in New Jersey and how New Jersey is a special place in their hearts. And it's true. Born and raised in this state, I've watched it become urbanized and sprawled and dumped on and remembered most for our parkway, turnpike exits, and the Bay of Barrel Works. I think the Highlands is a very special place. But I do share the concern, I think, of many people, not just of the large landowners, because there are programs in terms of preservation in place, but for the small landowners. The folks that bought that 7-acre parcel and thought about building a home for their son or daughter, or maybe their college tuition or their retirement, and implementing a way in which they can receive some equity. I think that work is yet to be done, and I agree with Jack. The law says that we're supposed to be looking at those things, so I would encourage the governor to address them as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Jack. I'd like to balance a little bit some of the comments regarding just compensation and equity. I feel very strongly that the Highlands Act was passed in order to be able to protect the water for half the people of the state of New Jersey. And in the build-up to the passage of the Highlands Act, I think it became very clear that the natural values that that we possess, are so lucky to possess here in the Highlands, were at great risk because of sprawl development and because of unplanned growth. So I think whereas I agree we need to get funding for our land preservation programs, I think the best thing that ever happened to the large landowners and the farmers in the Highlands region is the passage of the Highlands Act. Because what the Highlands Act did was it put in place an actual mechanism, which is very rare, I think, in our state's efforts to protect the intrinsic natural values that make land and water valuable. You know, there's a lot of studies out now that show how clean water enhances the value of property. And we're finding as water becomes a scarcer and scarcer resource nationally and internationally, that when you have clean water, the value of where you live is enhanced. And I think we can't replace the water once it's gone away. We found how very difficult it is to struggle with water deficits that are already in place in the Highlands. And I think the plan that we adopted, whereas I felt it, there were many areas that needed to be strengthened, does fit the mission of protecting our intrinsic natural values and our water and planning for how that is going to be put in place going forward. One last thing I'd like to say is I think terrific news has come out from the courts on this issue. We have been upheld time and again, and most recently when the Supreme Court accepted the appellate's division. And I think the appellate division's statement on whether or not farmers and large landowners were being hurt was very apropos to what we're discussing here this morning. And it was made clear in that decision that the protection of the water and the protection of our resources from degrading development was really the goal of the act, and that will serve us in terms of protecting the water and the landowners in the end. Also want to say, I think this council has actually paid a lot of attention to trying to serve the needs of the very important provision of the act that you mentioned, Jack. And that is through the TDR program, our efforts to expand that, and then also through our efforts to make sure that what we do is fair and just. So I wanted to balance those comments, and I thank you for the opportunity to do that.
As a new member, it's I have no history. I did not have the opportunity, except for one meeting, to work with our former chairman. However, turnover is good. New faces are good. I'm a firm believer in term limits and that things need rejuvenation. And I take a look at where the Highlands Council is now, and I think there's still a lot of fear in the public's eye as to what's really happening. And I think that now what we have to really buckle down in is coming up with a process that the average applicant can live through. I think we have to have a set of guidelines where we take our 369-page master plan and we get it down to something that the average individual who has an attention span of about 4 minutes can come up and say, oh yes, it's worth me going for an application, or it's not worth going for an application. And then once they get here, they go through DEP and they have to go through all of the other approval agencies. That we consolidate, make it efficient, we allow reports from one group to be used in another, we use engineering documents, we don't insist that they reinvent the wheel every time they turn around. I started my career in planning and zoning back in 1974, 35 years. Board of Adjustments, planning boards, I've been a zoning officer, I've been a tax committee member, I've been a mayor, and I find that the process of government very, very frustrating. While we are adding another layer, I think this is a critical layer. However, I think that we have to really kind of integrate the process so that an applicant isn't 6 years in the process. I think that, you know, we have a constitutional guarantee of the right to a fair and speedy trial, and your application should not be handled any different than that. So I think our trial from actually, I think our constitutional guarantees are not well maintained there. So I look forward to trying to take this from its gestation and the creation of the science and the documenting of the science and getting all of the physical details down to developing a process that can go forward, that can be handled successfully, conveniently, and expeditiously, and the rights of our residents are protected to the maximum extent possible. Although nowhere in our Constitution does it say that buying land is a guaranteed return. It's an investment. How many of us have invested and lost? It does happen. It's a risk that we take in our society. Land is a commodity that we do buy and sell, and investing in it does not guarantee you a return. I think that one of the problems we have in our society is for so long, until 1988, now, I'm a little older than a lot of folks, but for years, the real estate market never went down. And this built in it a full anticipation of generations that was money in the bank. However, the world has changed. That's not a guarantee anymore. And I think that our job is to try to minimize that risk to people, to try to compensate those that need compensation, and just not say, oh, well, too bad. But again, it's a very, very complex question. How that's going to be funded, I'll help with the process. I'll let somebody else worry about it. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, you should mark this day. It has been an absolute pleasure to serve with, you know, the
four of you who've been here from the beginning, that very first meeting, that meant 8 hours, and we spent 7 of them talking about bylaws. It's been a learning experience I've learned from every single one. I got involved because, having grown up in New Jersey, born and raised, growing up in Huntington County, I saw what happened. First moved to Huntington County, 78, stopped at exit 41, and stopped in Phillipsburg, or even before Phillipsburg, and to see the growth that's happened, and not all of the good growth. I want to be a part of the work that's being done here. We haven't all agreed, by any stretch of the imagination, between audience members as well as council members. But what I think has been important is the respect that's always been there. You know, we agree to disagree where we have to, but we continue to show respect for the council members as well as for audience members. And I think that in itself shows that we put aside differences to focus on.
Well, I know that when you're a new kid on the block, and I've been on a lot of committees during my lifetime, that you spend some time listening and learning, and learning right now and listening to all your comments. So I'm sure I'll have a lot more comments in the future, but being new, I'm listening to you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then I'll conclude. Last. I'd just like to say that I've enjoyed serving on a board that does conduct its activities in a civil manner. I make Dick Cheney look liberal, that Tracy and I enjoy having lunch together on a regular basis. Personally, I view this law as being socialist. Rubs against every grain of my being. But I do respect the legislative process of this state. I bring with me every meeting the law, the state constitution, and the regional master plan. And I respect the process so much that I recognize that as part of the executive branch, it's our job to implement the law that the governor signed, that the legislature created, and that the remedy to a law that you don't like is through the legislature. To the extent that I can, I believe that I'm serving our constituents in trying to implement this act in as fair and as best a manner as possible to the people who live here. And to that end, I'd say that the thing that I think demands the most attention are the exemptions. I think the legislature was very clear when it created the exemptions that it did in the act, and it never intended somebody who had a clear exemption to have to go through the DEP and pay a fee, just to be told 8, 10, 12 months later that they are indeed exempt. The reason the legislature wrote the law the way that they did was so that people could go and get a building permit to put their little addition on, or build their swimming pool, or build their garage, or their little barn, because it was truly exempt. That if there's any one thing that, if I put on a wish list that we could address this year, it would be simplify the exemption process so that people can just get on with their lives without being burdened with this act, people who live here. The other thing I put on my wish list is relationship with the governor's office. I think we've endured a miserable 4 years where there was basically no relationship with the governor's office. I think that the lack of appointments was indicative of the lack of attention or care or the indifference that the governor had to the volunteers that serve on this board. We serve here for no compensation. We all leave our businesses, our families to come here and serve the public good. And to serve for years without reemployment, to have vacancies that aren't filled, doesn't fulfill the legislative mandate, and I think is a really poor way of showing people that the governor cares for this region. And I hope certainly that Governor Christie will have a different approach to the way that he interacts with this council, and that we will see vacancies reappointed, and that we will have a relationship with the governor's office. Because the last 4 years really stunk. So I appreciate you allowing me to have the final word.
Always interesting. Okay. to the agenda, Executive Director's report.
Good morning, members, and thank you, Mr. Chair. I did deliver to all of you in your packets an updated report on Highlands Council staff activities since we last met. And I'm going to use the PowerPoint to go over some of the issues that are in the Executive Director's report. Not in the PowerPoint, but a couple of things I do want to touch on, and it's consistent with your conversation this morning. Just to let you know that the Highlands Council staff, under your direction, continue to advocate for the statewide TDR bill, which is back in committee at this point. Also, the extension of the dual appraisal period, which the bill that went forward had the extension for statewide. And certainly, I know that it's been considered that possibly that would be reconsidered and amended, which would be just for the Highlands region, as the landowners here are certainly the most effective and the only ones affected by the Highlands Act. But we will continue to advocate and update you on that and go to the committee meetings where possible to advocate on your behalf. Now, to turn to the PowerPoint, what we want to do today is go over the plan performance reviews, bring you up to date on where we are, and to give you an update on an application before us for a redevelopment project, also consistent with your conversation this morning about our duties as regards economic viability. Just to go back a little to talk about the plan performance process, particularly with our new member, Claire Richico, here this morning. The Highlands Act dictated that those municipalities with lands in the preservation area had to petition the council with conforming petitions 15 months after the effective date of the Highlands Regional Master Plan. And that meant that December 8th of 2008 was the date by which those municipalities had to give us conforming petitions. We, the council staff, under your direction, implemented a program to assist that in occurring, knowing that new master planning doesn't occur in a 15-month time frame. So we designed a program of 7 modules to get municipalities to the point of what we consider basic plan conformance petition. We worked with the municipalities in partnership. We used the grants from the Highlands Protection Fund to do this, and those grants will continue to be used as per the Highlands Act to meet the reasonable costs associated with plan conformance, both now and the basic and into the future, where we'll be doing more planning with municipalities. We also worked with the professionals that the municipalities asked to liaison with your staff. And this was very important because recognizing the wealth of experience and expertise that these municipal professionals have, what we did is we held informational sessions where we gave them our modules, our template documents, asked them to assist us in making those better, revise where necessary, such that the result was a true partnership between your staff, your council, and the municipalities. And so what I'm doing now is going to give you an overview of the response we've had to date with petitions. You see here the Highlands region in the state of New Jersey, and now we're showing the preservation area, and here you have the outlying area, the planning area. Petitions were mandatory for the preservation area lands, so those parts of municipalities that fall within the preservation area, by that date. There is no date for planning area petitions for conformance. However, because of other issues that these towns are facing, and many of them are considering it, and considering it in time to have their affordable housing plans down to the Council on Affordable Housing and adopted by June 8th. So that does put some sort of pressure on municipalities. In terms of conformance, we received conforming applications from all of these areas shown in green. The two hatched areas over here are Mansfield Township and Independence Township in Warren County. We are working with both those municipalities at the moment, but they have yet to submit petitions for conformance. This next slide shows you petitions that we received from planning area municipalities. There are two in our hatched where we received all the 7 documents, but they were not accompanied by resolutions for conformance at this point in time. So those municipalities, the Borough of Wharton and Precipity Troy Hills, continue to consider conformance, but they have done all the work to date. on those seven modules, or at least they're being considered for completeness for those seven modules. Here also Hatchford in the opposite direction is the borough of Highbridge. The borough of Highbridge is entirely planning area. By law, a municipality in the planning area that wishes to conform for those lands in the planning area must do so by ordinance. We have allowed at this point in time, while municipalities are still considering it, to do a resolution so that they can continue to work with your staff under the plan performance grants. However, Highbridge is the first of the municipalities that proceeded to full ordinance. They did the introduction and the adoption for the end of 2008, and so continue now to work with us in that performance. So 56 municipal submissions were received, and they cover 95% of the preservation area and 35% of the planning area. They were all received by December 8th. That amounts to 395,660 acres of the preservation area. The preservation area is approximately 415,000 acres. 153,942 acres in the planning area. Planning area is approximately 444,000. So that's a total acreage of 549,602 acres, which is 64% of the region. Those planning area petitions that I spoke of and those resolutions that remain voluntary, they're not binding until council action and municipal ordinance. And many of those planning area municipalities that have not yet submitted continue to consider submitting and may do so at any time and are working under a notice of intent with us. To bring you up to date on where we are, what the timeline is for the review process for these petitions, and where we are to date. December 8th was the date by which those petitions were submitted. We had said that within 60 days we would do our completeness determination and coordinate with municipal representatives. Your staff have finished those completeness reviews, and letters are being sent to Highlands mayors. They start going out today. They'll be going out in different batches depending on whether we've deemed the petition entirely complete or whether we're looking for more information. In certain instances, where there was only some small documents missing, if we could assist the municipality, we already have. So rather than saying you're incomplete, if we could do the work or get that information from them without going issuing a letter of incompleteness, we did so. It is always your staff's philosophy here to assist and to partner and to try to get, you know, rather than sending incompleteness letters, to help municipalities such that we can assist them getting there. Once the completeness determination is made, those materials will be posted on the council website. So once those letters go out, we're going to start posting those petitions to the website. Within 45 to 90 days, draft consistency review recommendations reports will be issued by the Highlands Council staff. And we'll share those with municipalities, give them an opportunity to respond. So again, before taking those to you, if we find that there's some issue that needs to be addressed, the municipality gets an opportunity to address it. If they disagree with the staff, we can proceed and bring it to the council. But again, this is in true partnership to try to give them the opportunity to work with us before we bring it to you. And for those incomplete petitions, we'll continue to work with them, and so again, it'll be a rolling process. We've also asked municipalities to indicate to us if they wish to be considered for priority consideration. And we already have municipalities that have done that have said that they'd like us to put them to the top of the pile because of certain issues that are important to those municipalities to address. So we're doing everything we can as a staff to assist them in that process. We've also asked them to indicate in their petitions what kind of planning is important for that municipality, again, to prioritise it. So, for example, in the case of one municipality, they stressed the need for a stream restoration and lake restoration plan. So they like to get out and get ahead, and so that they can start beyond basic plan performance, working under with the plan performance plans to start that kind of planning. As you know, we're out ahead working on model plans with the consultants hired for lake and stream restoration, likewise for water use and conservation management plans, so that we will have models available for those municipalities who want to get out ahead and start that kind of planning. After the municipal response period, when the municipality has either amended the petition or asked us to proceed to council, we will have public notice file a referral and bring it to the council for your consideration. Your action then will determine whether that petition is complete, whether you say that it's conditioned upon certain requirements, or whether you say that it, for some reason, that it's not deemed to be consistent with the regional master plan. That brings you up to date on where we are in the process. We will continue to bring you up to date on our process with the petitions. Then the next matter we want to bring to your attention is a Highlands redevelopment area petition. The first of those petitions was a petition we received from a petition in West Milford. And if you remember, you went through the resolution, you approved a redevelopment area. That is currently before the Department of Environmental Protection, because this is a two-step process. The redevelopment area process for preservation area requires a Highlands Council designation of the redevelopment site, and then it goes through a waiver process with the Department of Environmental Protection. And in fact, your first redevelopment area had its pre-application meeting before Department of Environmental Protection yesterday. And again, consistent with what I've been hearing this morning, and your concern that we have, Mayor Holtzman was talking about an efficient and effective process, I went down yesterday to that pre-application meeting with the Department of Environmental Protection with Chris Ross, who leads our project reviews here on staff, to assist the applicant as much as we could in the next steps they're taking with the department. We'll stay in contact and try to take that process as seamless as possible. And now we have another application before us. These early applicants have been very patient, frankly, with us, because many of them have been here since before we adopted a regional master plan, and that is the case with Borealis. They've been working with her staff since that time, but understanding that we had to have a process in place and adopt a plan to react to. So at this point, Borealis is not before you today. What I want to do is sort of familiarize you with the project. It could be with you as early as your next meeting. Borealis Compounds LLC operate a plastic manufacturing facility in Mansfield Township in Warren County. The applicant is petitioning the Highlands Council for that Highlands redevelopment area designation in the preservation area using the 70% impervious surface criteria established in the Highlands Act. And their opportunity is to use that existing impervious surface to get up to 30% more impervious surface within the designated Highlands development and redevelopment site that you designate. It is block 1301, lot 1. It's 33.1 acres. That contains the existing plant. And they also own block 1307, lot 6, which is a 9-acre parcel, currently undeveloped, currently used by the applicant as agricultural lands. This slide shows you a picture of the site. So this is the site itself. And you see here the existing facility. And this is the other parcel over here. And you see this county road here and here, which separates this. But in order to remain economically viable and keep this operation in the Highlands region, Borealis needs this opportunity for redevelopment. They do have other facilities, and I believe they've one in Pennsylvania, should they not be able to use this site in the manner that they need. And it is our concern under our redevelopment provisions that we offer opportunities if that waiver is acceptable to the DEP as well. This shows you the Highlands open water buffers. There is a stream here. Currently, this is the land that is under agricultural use, and the applicant wants to have some extension of the activities over here and also some onto this parcel here, which would intrude into the Highlands open water buffer, whereby a waiver will be needed for that to occur. We have spoken with the applicant about revegetation of the remaining area of this block lot such that the functional quality of the stream would actually be enhanced. And this is showing you critical habitat. Again, you see it on this site. Again, remember though that the site is currently farmed. Here is a view of what they want to do. This, you can see the extension of the facility over here. It would be turning area for vehicles that come into this site, which would apparently also stop. It's a safety issue where they're backing up currently onto this road. So that's part of the need, and some storage facilities and some work that they want to do in this area as well. Borealis want to do the work in stages, but they understand that they get a redevelopment area if that is approved by you, and they get the waiver then that they need from Department of Environmental Protection, the rest of the land would be deed restricted. Also, any activities that do occur under their phase development in here would have to go through an HPAA review by the department, and we would stay involved in this to make sure again that all the issues in the RMP are addressed. Currently, the consistency determination, which is the proposed consistency determination by your staff, so it's draft, is on our website, and we invite comments as we always do on these. It was posted January 15th. Comments that we provided on or before January 29th by email to Jim Hutzelman, who is our water resources engineer, and he is leading this particular project review. The Highlands Redevelopment Area Designation application may then be reviewed by the Council as early as Thursday, February 18th, that's next month. Now, I say potentially be reviewed, because what we do is we see the public comments, we take those public comments, and we will track changes in our consistency review and in our draft recommendations to the Council based on those comments from the public. Just to take you through the proposed recommendations today.
Why is the staff recommendation to not continue agricultural production in the areas that have current agricultural production?
Our response is based on the need of the applicant and what the applicant wants to do. It was a use that they were using at that point in time, but they want to have economic development on the site.
Right, but the balance, you said that there was going to be a project to plant trees and remove the balance of that lot from agricultural production. So and that was part of the proposal that the staff had put in place to mitigate the project that they're putting in, but certainly agriculture would be an appropriate use as well. We talked about the need to support economic activity. Someone's going to lose income because that means not going to be production. Is it our policy, or we establish the policy, that we would rather see the land not farmed?
That isn't the policy. I think what we, as your staff, were trying to do here, Kurt, was in order to allow the intrusion into the Highlands open water buffer, was to make sure that the functional quality of the stream was maintained and indeed enhanced if possible. And this is something we talked about with the applicant. They viewed the agricultural operation was not viewed as something that was ongoing and critical to their operation. It was viewed as something they were doing until they had an opportunity to use the site. So it was taking all of this into consideration, and in order to get the waiver provision from DEP is to make sure that the applicant gets what it is they want out of the project, and we get to be able to support it because it enhances water quality.
But someone somewhere made the recommendation or made the decision that not having the balance of that property farm is better. I mean, because we can do stream enhancement with agriculture just as easily as we can with planting bushes along the stream water. And I suspect that it wasn't the applicant who said, we want to take it out of farm. I suspect that somewhere, DEP or within our staff, somebody said, this is what we want to see. And I just want to know where it's coming from. Because if that's going to be the staff correction, then that's something that we then need to perhaps have dialogue.
Okay. And I will tell you that the Department of Environmental Protection did have a meeting with our staff on site to look at the issue. But the issue of enhancement of stream quality was something that was brought to the attention of Borealis by the Highlands Council staff.
As to
whether we would dictate, if they could show any kind of provisions for future use of that land that would enhance the stream quality, they would be considered by staff. We don't say it can't be agriculture, it must be something else. What we're looking at is, in the end analysis, what can protect the stream and enhance the quality of the stream. It's not anti-agriculture or pro-agriculture, it's about enhancement of the stream. Any methodology they can come up with would be considered and brought to your attention.
Right.
If they want to bring up some kind of continuing ag use, again, that shows that they can protect the stream that would be brought to your attention.
Where did the direction, who gave them the direction? You know, for instance, were they told that they could go to USDA, NRCS, and there was quick programs in place where they could grow particular crops along the stream corridor to achieve the results that, that the plan desires, while at the same time retaining agricultural production?
What we spoke to them about was doing something if they were allowed the intrusion into the, if they were granted the waiver to intrude into the Highlands Open Water Buffer, to doing something that would enhance stream quality. We didn't dictate precisely what that had to be. So indeed, if they want to do something like that, we can have that conversation. Today's purpose is really to familiarize you with it, but we can have that conversation with them. We don't dictate the methodology by which they enhance that quality, so long as we can study it and make sure that it does, so that we can make that recommendation to you.
Well, I think it's important that when we have you understand how fully supportive of the redevelopment process here. But I think it's important that we don't suggest one stream protection method over another, right? I think we have a checklist, and if it's in agricultural production, I think certainly we want to say there's ways to maintain agricultural production and enhance the quality of the stream, and there's resources available through USDA and NRCS to achieve these things, free these resources, and there's even grant money and water sharing money is available to implement practices that can benefit the producer of this property and it maintains them.
Well, I can assure you that we will have that conversation with the applicant. I'm not sure as to if their projected activities on that site would be consistent with the continuing of the farm operation. I don't know that, but certainly we'll have that conversation. These are the proposed staff recommendations. Again, proposed, we'll bring it to your, after we revise, dependent on public input, we'll bring these back to you, but I'm just letting you know how they stand today. The staff recommendation would be to approve the proposed Highlands redevelopment area designation subject to the following conditions. A Highlands Open Water Protection Area mitigation plan to ensure no net loss of water quality and buffer value through mitigation of the impacts from prior agricultural use and of the proposed impervious cover container staging areas. And again, there we don't dictate that it's not an agricultural use that continues, but it is a mitigation plan to ensure no net loss of water quality. Our hope would be to be indeed able to enhance that.
That's not a positive agricultural state. Just for the record, that is not a positive agricultural state.
Accepted.
It very clearly directs them to go a different way.
From prior
point, touche. That's my concern.
Okay.
But they should know that they can continue the agricultural operation and meet the mitigation requirements that, that are needed with continued agricultural production. And I think that's a bad message to send to people.
And our intent was that the prior agricultural use certainly wouldn't be the one that would enhance the stream quality. So if it was to be a different agricultural use, not prior. But I do take the point, we'll try to make sure that we suggest that put these proposals forward in a more, let's say, positive manner.
And neutral. And neutral in terms of what way they desire to achieve the mitigation.
Yes.
And just a question related to this issue. I think on the map it showed there were some other areas on that site that were not already in use. Were there alternatives discussed with the staff for locations for this extra 30%?
Yes, there's been exhaustive conversations with the applicant where they've come in and they've tried many different ways of getting what they need. There were other issues, and you'll see that when you bring the whole project before you, the Old Morris Canal was went through the site as well. I mean, everywhere they turned, they hit on something. So we were trying to assist them as best we could to limit the impacts so that they were looking for limited waiver and get the best potential that they needed for the site in order to remain economically viable. The conversations have been ongoing since before I actually started here in 2.5 years ago.
Is that clear in the report that's on the website? Is there a discussion of alternative locations?
No.
And that is on the council member website as opposed to the public.
No, it's on the public website.
Because it's important for the public to listen as well as us.
many of those were sort of conversations sitting around the table with the plans where they were looking at it and talking with staff and saying, you know, we looked at this, we'll try that. And then they went through various, there's so many exercises involved in calculating the impervious surface. We actually had to, we did a site visit as well there with the Department of Environmental Protection to look at existing to determine what would be actually considered existing so that they could build on it. So there, much of that, you know, was, again, was done at meetings, site visits, so it wouldn't be captured fully, but we could have some narrative on it.
That's the other thing I was wondering. Is there an explanation of how the existing impervious surface was actually calculated? We had so much discussion about that in the past with the council.
That's one reason why we asked the department to visit with us to that particular site, because we wanted to make sure that moving forward that we have a coordinated review of what and an agreement based on what the Highlands Act, because the Highlands Act does have its own definition of impervious surface. So they came out so that we would agreed upon, and that is what occurred, looking at the, and we can give you an analysis of that.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
I have a question on this 70% impervious area. We talk about mitigation and other issues which are kind of reactive. And one of the things that I don't see is a positive for water recharge. I think water recharge is one of the key issues of the Highlands. How do we get the water back into the ground, back into our aquifer at a high level? And so it really doesn't matter what kind of bushes you plant anywhere. What really matters, if you're going to redevelop an area, 70% impervious coverage, what are you going to do to capture that water and to put whatever engineering control in place that manage that water back into the aquifer, whether it's via a stream or via a perking back into the ground? I'm simply not seeing that. And so it really doesn't matter if they have a landscape plan, if you will, to plant a lobby stream, or they farm it. If they should be able to do either one, but at a different level, they should, whoever wants to redevelop, should have a plan in place to do water recharge. For heaven's sake, impervious coverage has been defined many different ways, and sometimes by the state itself, it contradicts itself. In 2004, the state of New Jersey had wrote a best management practice about impervious technology. Impervious pavers. Other states have used that, and with the object of being taken acres of parking lots and at least getting some of that water to recharge back into the aquifer. And I'm really not, it's lacking in some of the things that I see when people talk about redevelopment. We have areas in our town that we're going to redevelop under that 70%. And we're going to use that principle in the planning area because it's a good principle. But again, it should be a positive approach to it, not a reactive approach. So to me, mitigation is saying, whoops, I'm reactive. But a good plan is always positive and prevent you from having mitigation.
You will see that that is part of what we do with, and we talk about low impact development. That is part of the recommendations that come forth, and it's part of the conversation that occurs in all our redevelopment proposals, as does proper, you know, following the stormwater rules and regulations. But we do talk about recharge as well.
So it doesn't matter what the land use is, and I think that we should be neutral on that. Our point should be, are we protecting the water or not?
Right, and this is a very comprehensive review we go through. I'm just giving you some highlights here. The consistency determination goes through all of these issues as well, and then in our conclusions and recommendations will address many of those issues, and we've worked with the applicant. The design of the Highlands Open Water Protection Area Mitigation Plan is to ensure no net loss of habitat value as well for the grassland species of concern, because I did show you that came up as a critical resource, through improvement of habitat on the remainder of Block 1307, Lot 6. So again, in determining future uses on that lot in the area that is not in the redevelopment designated area, it's important to realize that we want to address any of the critical resources that we were showing, in this case, Highlands Open Water Buffer and critical habitat. The remainder of those blocks and lots outside are proposed to be deed restricted and to prevent future development. And that is the case with all of these redevelopment proposals, that once you've done designated that site, the remainder of the land then is deed restricted, because this is a one-time opportunity offered under the Highlands Act. And it's so long as they encapsulate the maximum they can get, which is again 30% more based on the 70% of existing impervious surface, the rest of the land is then deed restricted. Now this gets to some of what Councilmember Francis was saying. Stormwater management must utilize low-impact development techniques and non-structural measures to the maximum extent feasible. Natural hydrology and vegetation should be used to the maximum extent possible to achieve required stormwater performance targets. And a directly connected discharge to the seawater stream must be avoided. So we do work on all of these issues with the applicant as well. No modification to water allocation permit or the Egyptes permits to be granted for an increase in flows for either or for an increase in pollutant loadings or concentrations for the latter. And this is based again on the problem. If they needed a water allocation permit, at least we do address it. In this case, for the phase that they're going through, they don't require this into the future. If they do, that has to be assessed at that point. Continuing those proposed recommendations, additional conditions require the applicants to make finalized plans and supporting analyses for review by the Highlands Council during the Highlands Preservation Area approval application process with NJDEP. So we can stay working with DEP as this process moves forward. The Highlands Council consistency determination regarding any proposed modifications, because currently under what they anticipate doing, they're doing basically a phased development. They don't need any modifications. If into the future they would have any, as required under Section 74 of the Highlands Act, and regarding any modifications to the GIPTES permits, as required under NJAC 7:38.1.1. Borealis should provide information that no increased pollutant loadings will occur in the wellhead protection areas, because again, this was a resource that we see on site. They are within wellhead protection areas through an increased discharge. So Borealis would also provide an operations and contingency plan regarding their discharge prevention plans if there's any hazardous material stored or handled on site. And that's to meet the tier two of the wellhead protection area requirements of the regional master plan. There are rail sidings on one side of this project area, and there's a plan into the future to extend, and not in their first phase of development, but to extend the rail sidings over carpet block formations. So we have asked that if they when they get to that point, that they would provide either geotechnical investigation if the karst topography and associated hazards are not in existence on the site, or demonstrate that proposed rail improvements constitute unacceptable risk of discharge or risk to public safety. So these are just to make sure that we have a look to the future of what any kind of activities that would occur on this site. Those are the proposed recommendations that are currently on our website for the public as well to review. And again, we'll bring that back to you with a full review of that for your action and as early potentially as the next meeting. And I will send you more information electronically as we revise that document. So that was just to give you a sort of an idea of what's coming up at the next meeting, so that you'd be more familiar with this particular site. And then if you want to view the consistency determination now or after it's being revised. That, Mr. Chair, brings me to the end of the executive
order. Before we go to the next item.
Just a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
First, I just want to say we're lucky to have them because it's a miracle that they're doing the sustained jurisprudence. You're being a good supporter. Since before you began, can you imagine a business owner letting all these people take years to do an expansion? It's just incredible. And they should be applauded for sticking with the jurisprudence in this process. Can you just give us a quick TDR update? Is Scott gone now? What's our plan to replace our council rep on the TDR bank board? And he was also the chair. Or do we have a plan?
John's.
We had three members of the council appointed by the chair of the council and members of the HTC bank. They were Scott Whiteback, Eric Peterson, and John Weingart, and Scott was the chair. None of those three members are current members of the Highlands Council. The HDC Bank met this month and they are not scheduled to have another meeting until May 4th or 6th, till early May. And during this period of time, we would direct what work we would be doing in terms of a public notice going out, in terms of letters going out to applications received for HDC, such that at that meeting, we would be bringing to the HDC Bank Board recommendations for action and program and for possible purchase of HDCs from the applicants under their priority consideration for hardship cases. Currently, the members, we don't have council members, but as I pointed out, there's an opportunity now for the new governor potentially to fill the vacant seats of the Highlands Council. And it is up to the governor as well to appoint a chair from amongst the members of the Highlands Council. And that's
for this council.
Yes, and then that chair appoints the members to the HDC board to then elect a chair from amongst their members.
So the acting chair does not have the authority to appoint members to the TDR council, to the bank?
Even if I did, I wouldn't touch it.
Okay. And do, as a TDR bank, do they have an acting chair now? Or?
They will not need an acting chair until the May meeting. So, and Jack and I had just started to work together as chair and executive director, so there are many of these kinds of issues that need to be addressed, but we were preparing for this meeting and I didn't feel the urgency to work on the HDC Bank Board, given that, I mean, we certainly discussed it amongst ourselves because we knew there wasn't a meeting till May, and of course we would anticipate that before then some action has to be taken. But neither have we had an opportunity to work with the new administration. We've obviously had some conversations, but such that we need to have these conversations to make sure that we do this in a coordinated fashion.
That leads me to my next question. Have we established a new line of dialogue with the new executive, his office?
To date, we are an authority. We act under the authority's unit. We know that there is a new director of the authorities unit, but as of 2 days ago, Maura Tully, who may still be on the phone, and Maura Tully from the governor's authority unit called me to say that she, and we've worked with her in the past, that she was going to continue, but that hers was the only email functioning as of 2 days ago. So we have to wait until they all have functioning emails, and there should be someone within the policy division we work with within the authorities unit, and those would be the point people within the governor's office, unless the governor decides that he wants someone else to work with us. I know that we are in, but not of, the Department of Environmental Protection, but according to the Highlands statute, it is not the commissioner or any officer of DEP that has authority over this council.
And we have sent to the DEP several requests for them to clarify what a property owner is defined as under the exemptions, which it's been taking us as long to get an answer as it does for people to get permitted. Almost a year now, probably. Well, almost, not quite a year, almost. So, no action on that, I suppose, still?
We do continue to work with them. We've achieved we've had some responses on a project in Bethlehem Township, which is related to this, because the exemptions are exemptions from the DEP Highlands rules and the Regional Master Plan and the Highlands Act. And it is, and constantly we find that the public think that it is this office that is holding up an analysis, those analyses. We do some coordinated review with the department, but it is only currently the Department of Environmental Protection that can issue an exemption in the preservation area. So on that particular project, which is related to the issue you had wished for an answer on, Kurt, which is the question of exemption number one, the to build a single family residence on a log record as of 2004, the date of the Act. The question as to whether that is good for an LLC, private family home, these kind of issues. In the case of Bethlehem, it is a municipal project for an art home, and it would be part of their co-op planning. And the indication to date, because the Department of Environmental Protection works with the Attorney General's office to give us responses on these kind of issues, we believe that that one will be moving forward and that that one will be approved as an exemption, but we don't have final approval to date. So we continue to work with them, but we don't have answers for you at this point.
Which would then suggest that entities would qualify for the exemptions. But
I would rather
our logic does not necessarily match, perhaps, EDP and AG.
Exactly. And then, as Arlene said, there's no final resolution from DEP on that matter. And to go to your prior point, in terms of delegating the exemption authority to conforming municipalities over time to break that logjam, that's another issue with community resolution through DEP. But I think our agenda is going to be to bring to the new DEP commissioner a host of issues which would require resolution and advance those issues accordingly.
We've already started work on preparing that. And again, just for clarity, exemptions in the planning area will fall under the authority of the Highlands Council. And in the regional master plan, it is considered that what would happen is for conforming municipalities, they would take over many of those exemptions. There are some that are a broader, for example, the ones that you've done on PSE&G and Tennessee Gas. But other ones that are more, as you talked about, Kirk, the single family residence building on under exemption number one, or indeed under exemption number two, where that lot has been sold to someone else, also the additions. And then there's the exemption for the 125% rebuild or increase in pervious surface up to quarter acre. Those kind of issues are the ones that we see in the planning area that we would consider that a conforming municipality would take over. Likewise, we've been encouraging the department to consider handing them over to the preservation area once those municipalities are conformed, after, of course, appropriate and adequate training has occurred for the officials who generally operate under Department of Community Affairs. But we have a number of issues like that and a number of suggestions that we would make for a more efficient and effective process between ourselves and the department that would lead to efficiency for the public, so that hopefully the fees would be less, the time would be less, and that there wouldn't be duplication of work done by this office and the department. And a good example of that is what we just did, what you just saw under Boreal. So the previous one that we had sent down, the Schwartz redevelopment area in West Milford, we've been working with DEP to coordinate on that, such that the information that we worked on could be used by the applicant in the process, so that he wouldn't have to incur the cost of getting that information himself, and we stayed involved to assist.
Well, I think that this is a real great opportunity to effect some change in our relationship with the government office, and I just encourage you to take every measure and employ every effort that the staff has available to communicate these needs now to the new DEP director, to the governor's office, because I really sense that there's a window of opportunity for us to make things work better for citizens ultimately, but for the way that we interact with these other agencies, which will ultimately serve the citizens better.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kurt, I neglected to acknowledge that the treasurer has a report.
It's not really a report, it's an update. We've got some information.
It's an update.
So it's not official.
It's not very official. Whatever you want to say.
The budget as of the year end, we are on target. We're below on every line item, with the exception of advertising, which is a modest increase. And we haven't got our bill for legal services yet, I guess, from the Attorney General's office. So other than that, we're in good shape. So just to pass that out, we will have an official report once we get an audit done and the financial support.
Next item on the agenda is a consideration of a resolution. I mean, could you read the title of the resolution?
Certainly. New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council commending Chairman John Weingart for his leadership and dedication to the Highlands Council and its mission.
All the members read the resolution?
Yep.
Anyone like to move it?
I'll move it. Shall I second? Paul seconds.
Would I have a roll call vote on this, please?
No public comment on resolution.
Yes, I just want to move it.
Interesting. Well, just as far as what we have, I think historically over public comment on resolutions, have we not?
I'm not going to preclude them.
Well, what I'm saying, all for local, we have enough public comment.
Just announcing that we have to move, I would like to have a move.
Very good, Mr. Director, chairman. Fine job.
Thank you. Any comments from council members? Are there any comments from the public? Yes.
Deborah Post, landowner at Chester Township. I strongly object to any commendation from Mr. Weingart, a chairman who worked diligently and continually to keep the voices and needs of the landowners from being heard. With stopwatch in hand, Mr. Weingart interrupted landowners mid-sentence after the 3 minutes of public comment while allowing the paid environmental lobbyists to speak ad nauseum. Mr. Weingart's prime concern was to construct and pass a plan without, quote, recognizing the need for just compensation to the owners of the land as required by Section 6 of the Act. Mr. Weingart so admitted in a deposition. Mr. Weingart treated landowners as the proverbial mushroom, to be kept in the dark, fed cow pies, and then canned.
Please identify yourself. Previous speaker.
Julia Summers, New Jersey Gardens Coalition. I couldn't disagree more strongly with that previous statement, and I just wanted to put that on the record. We disagreed with John frequently. We let him know that we disagreed with him frequently. He always treated us with courtesy. He cut us off far too often, but he had business to do here and a plan to implement. And I think that anybody who managed to lead this effort for as long as he did, with an even demeanor, deserves great commendation from everybody, whether you agree with the result or not. So I thank John for the leadership that he provided this council. I'll continue to tell him I disagree with him in a lot of ways, but I thank him very much for the effort and the extraordinary time that he put into this. Thank you.
Elliot Ruben, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. If you could just have a short comment, if John is listening, that when he writes his next memoir, I have a great title if he's interested. It's called Protecting Our Water Resources, Damned If You Do, Damned If You Don't.
Good morning, everyone. Monique Purcell with the Department of Agriculture. I just have a letter from the Secretary of Agriculture for Mr. Weingart that I'd like to read into the record. Dear Chairman Weingart, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your tireless efforts in serving as Chairman of the Highlands Council for the past 5 years. Throughout the long and arduous process of developing the regional master plan, you ensured an atmosphere of respectful and constructive debate that was vital in objectively addressing the wide range of complex issues. Thank you again for your dedication and all the best to you in the future. Sincerely, Douglas H. Fisher, Secretary of Agriculture. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Ellen Heinrich. Want to make comments on behalf of myself as a licensed landscape architect professional planner who, as you know, keeps up with this process pretty religiously. We appreciate John's efforts to create and keep balance between the various sections of the Highlands Act, between the preservation of the resource and the economic development of housing and so forth for the 800,000 people who live here. I think he should be commended for his patience to listen to everybody, and as Julia said, you know, to not always agree with him personally either, but I think we saw him give great efforts to provide the flexibility and reason to dealing with the RMP that is certainly going to be needed as you all struggle with the conformance questions. He was always accessible to groups, and he has a reputation among several past administrations for being somebody who can handle a complicated problem like this. So we'll miss you, John, but I commend you for the very hard job that you did here.
Norma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I just want to say I also disagree with this post as someone who was cut off quite summarily at least once, if not more times. I disagree that other people were cut off and that we were not. And I do want to thank John for his service, dedicated service over a long period of time chairing these meetings and trying to be even-handed.
David Shope, I own a farm in the Mountains Preservation Area. John Weingart came out of DEP after starting life in a rather privileged position. And he's going to end life in a rather privileged position with a fact government pension, as many of you will get. And in terms of sacrifice, he sacrificed nothing. He was here when he was, no matter where he was, he was paid either by the Eagleton Institute, before that DEP. He falls roughly into the category of a rather talented but simply great bureaucrat. Thank you.
Any other members of the public? Further comments from council members? I'd like to have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Alstey?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Cogger?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Yes.
Councilmember Kovacs?
Yes.
Councilmember Lutz?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Schreier?
Yes.
I'm going to go to public comments now on any matter that comes before the Highlands Council. Ready?
Morning again, Monique Purcell, New Jersey Department of Agriculture. I just wanted to make a suggestion based on the Borealis conversation earlier, and that would be that if a project location is in the ag priority areas, I think it would make a lot of sense to have agriculture represented, possibly the meetings that take place around the project itself. I think that as Austin pointed out that there are ways that agricultural uses can continue and also protect the resource. I'm not saying that that's actually taking place at the moment on the property, but it surely has the ability to, and I think it may make sense. One of the goals of the Highlands Act is also the preservation of agriculture, so if it's in an ag priority area, I would suggest that there's at least some representation of the industry in those meetings, so we can at least offer an alternative, obviously, ultimately, it's up to the landowner, but what he wants to do.
glad to come. We would like to be there to be a part of the conversation. So that's a suggestion I'd like to recommend.
Helen Heinrich again, and now with my 4-year-old hat on, to make public comments about a couple of things. The Borealis project is something that I think you're going to get comments from the Farm Bureau and also the Warren County CADB and the County Board of Agriculture, because they are concerned about the same things that Carlston brought up. Farming in New Jersey is often typically little pieces of property all put together in a farm management unit. And what we understand so far, this piece is essential to the person that is renting it. And there are ways of protecting the resource through the USDA, BMPs, and so forth, should be looked into. And I agree totally with me. So, you're going to hear, I think, by the end of next week, several directions on the agricultural question, and also the critical habitat. There's grassland birds out there now. What the farmer is doing, it's in an ag resource area. It's an ag priority area to be acquired. So certainly more consideration should be given to continuing that use on it. And secondly, would it be possible for you to write a letter, which I think you've done in the past, to push along the action of the dual appraisal for the Highlands landowners? Landowners were extremely disappointed and crushed, let's say, by the what happened to the bill so far that was withdrawn. And so, obviously, farmers would like to see that extended statewide, but we get it first, anyway, from the Highlands landowners. That would be very necessary, and anything you can do to formalize your backing of that would be appreciated. Thanks.
Mr. Schill.
David Shope, I have a farm in the Highlands Preservation Area. First of all, I was very disturbed by Mrs. Swan's and Borden's determination that they feel that the issuing and determination of exemptions falls within their purview. Really, it falls within the purview of the Book of Deeds. The exemptions are rather clearly laid out in the Highlands Act. You need go no further. You need to have no interpretations. It goes with ownership as of a certain date. So knock off the really freakish attempt to grab every bit of power that they can get. You're dealing with a bunch of control freaks at your stand. We're in the sixth year. There's still no reimbursement. Sprawl development is a function of local land use zoning. They created the sprawl. The builders did not, nor did I. And the reason for the sprawl development is to consume as much of the land as possible with housing on large lots so that the little kiddies don't go through your school system and add to your tax burden. One would think that kids are bad. If this is the rationale for sprawl development, and it is, and I've heard it enunciated at a township committee meeting in Lebanon Township when Swan was mayor. Heard it with my own ears. So we must conclude that kiddies are bad because we don't want to pay the cost of educating. And as far as the court decisions are concerned, the courts in this country have made some humdingers. They've made the Dred Scott decision. They made the Chinese Exclusion Act decision, both of which were held up with, supported by Supreme Court decisions. They did the Plessy versus Ferguson decision, again upheld by the Supreme Court. So don't give me this court stuff, because I can show you a whole bunch of bad decisions done by the courts, U.S. Supreme Court, in this country. You should concern yourself not with court decisions, but with what is right and wrong. Land as an investment? Well, land is an investment, let's face it. And if the investment suffers as other investments do by the vagaries of the marketplace, so be it. When it suffers as the result of governmental action, that's a whole different story. Don't confuse it. And I have a question, which I'll accept an answer later. Do these council members, do you, get a document review payment, and you go ahead, get show-up pay? Do you get state medical coverage? As far as Boreals is concerned, they're a foreign-owned company. They bought the plant in Mansfield Township from British Petroleum, who bought it from Cook Color and Chemical. I think they're Danish, but I'm not sure. But in any case, New Jersey is just another spot on the map to them. They can pick up and move whenever they want. And as far as the DEP regs are concerned, you know, there's a comment made about pervious pavement. Well, the DEP regs define pervious pavement as impervious. It's in the DEP regs. What nonsense. Mr. Richco is a teacher in, I guess, Sparta Township. He earns $92,000 a year, or he did in 2007, 2008. He may earn more than that now, I'm not sure. And you're supposedly a full-time teacher teaching fourth and fifth grade, which begs the question, what are you doing here today now? You should be in school. You are also a member of the Pequannock River Coalition as director. All right, so we have yet another extreme environmentalist appointed by Cody in his waning hours as Senate president. I just consider one of Cody's sick jokes. Editorial from Lancaster Farming entitled, "Mamas, Don't You Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Farmers." The Wall Street Journal did an analysis of 200 jobs, and farmers ranked 161 out of 200. So it is not a particularly good career path. Also, the 2000 Census of Agriculture, when you analyze it, finds that the earnings per acre on farms in various counties vary wildly. Union County, you earn $6,513 per acre in Union County. The average size of the farm is 8 acres. We'll go to the next county, Sussex County. Average size of the farm is 62 acres, and you earn $20.42 per acre. So tell me about agricultural viability, unless you have an 8-acre farm in Union County. It's a fraudulent concept. It does not exist, and you will soon see this as farms, one by one, as they have in the past, continue to fold up and go away, because it doesn't make sense to own acreage when you earn 20 bucks an acre on it. And what's the reason for the difference between Union County, say, and Sussex County? I'll tell you the difference. It's called impervious coverage. It's called greenhouses. That's what it's called. It's called intensive water use. That's what it's called. If you want to talk about agricultural viability, promote greenhouses, promote intensive water use. When I hear about water deficits, that is nonsense. If you make nonsense up in your own comments when you say that this area provides water for 5.4 million New Jerseyans, and yet we have a water deficit. That is insane on its face. I submitted this to you before. This is a summary of water quality conditions for both the North and South Branch of the Raritan River. Green is good, red as bad. As the water courses from this area and goes further downstream to areas outside the highlands, it gets red. We are not the polluters. The polluters are, to quote Swan, our downstream neighbors. That's who the polluters are. And we're to pay the price, we're to provide the dilution, to dilute their pollution. That doesn't sound like a fair deal to me. And I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
First of all, thank you for the warm welcome. And second, I've been retired for 2 years.
Oh, good. So you've been devoted your full time. I had a teacher's pension. Yes.
Opposed?
Deborah Post, farm landowner, Chester Township. I couldn't help but hear the loud crunch under my feet of the layers of salt as I entered this building today across your walkway. So goes good environmental practices here at 100 Highland Pond. Ms. Carluccio, your comment that the act is the best thing that ever happened to the landowners is both arrogant and laughable. I lost $5 million of property values, and I assure you, that is not the best thing that ever happened to me. You continued by stating that the act has helped you protect the landowners. Respectfully, it is not your job to protect the landowners or the land owned by the landowners. It is not your job to meddle with property that you do not own. Your comments capitalize the inherent socialist agenda of the Highlands Act. Mr. Alstead, if you really believe that bad law must be implemented and upheld, you must also believe that Rosa Parks should have moved to the back of the bus. Mr. Hawtoway, you are new here, and your comments greatly dismayed me, as we had some hope. First, I sincerely hope you didn't mean to say that the average landowner has a four-minute attention span, that we are so learning disabled that we don't grasp the act and its regulations. In fact, we understand the act and its regulations in more detail than the majority of the council members who arrive occasionally to rubber stamp the resolutions of the extremist staff. We understand the overreach as well as Mr. Borden, the master of overreach himself. Your comment that land ownership is subject to the same business risk ebbs and flows as any investment leaves me with the impression that you may have some confusion regarding the statute. The correct analogy is to a share of an oil stock that has been nationalized. If one purchases a share of an oil stock in an oil company in Bolivia, one might rightfully expect to have some political risk that that stock might be nationalized. But we are here in America. In America, we do not nationalize companies. The government may not nationalize American companies. We have a Fifth Amendment. If the government wants to take my property, including any right contained in the bundle of rights that go with my property or that are my property, they must pay for it. The taking must be paid for at the time of the taking, not with fake promises and lies, as were made by Senator Smith when this act was passed, and that Ms. Carluccio insists on reiterating today. Which brings me to a constructive suggestion to this lame duck council, a suggestion that might even allow some of you to sleep better in your old age. May I ask you to seriously consider repricing the HTC as it currently exists in your regional master plan? As a refresher, and for some of the new members, you will recall, and for your new members, I would sincerely, if you look at no other past documents, please review the slideshow of, I believe, April 4th, 2009. It is a slideshow on the HDC, specifically pages 17 through 19. As a refresher, an HDC represents an average lot within the Highlands region. I think the slide calls it a regional average lot. And the slideshow price is that regional average lot at $64,000. $64,000 for an average regional lot in the Highlands, according to your master plan. Of course, that must be adjusted by zoning and location factors for each individual property. But conceptually, an HDC is one average regional lot at $64,000. That slideshow then applies a 30% discount to that $64,000, representing that expense of soft costs and improvements in infrastructure, which is, I would say, accurate 30% reduction if indeed the database is of already improved lots. It is not clear to me that the database and the $64,000 is of already improved lots. That database has never been particularly transparent, and we don't really know what's in it. There could be a double count by adding a 30% discount to something that has already been discounted in its original data. But let's take the 30% as accurate for these purposes. You would take the $64,000 and discount it by 30%, and that would be the average lot value, the just compensation due to the landowners. But that slideshow then takes that 30% discounted number and reduces it by another 75% with, quote unquote, to adjust for, quote, the willingness of the developer to pay. So you are transferring to the developer 75% of the landowner's land value in your HDC. So an HDC in your regional master plan is priced at $16,000. It's in your regional master plan. You concluded that when you voted to pass the regional master plan. So for a $64,000 average regional lot, a landowner is to get $16,000. And right now you have a TDR bank accepting hardship applications. Hardship applications. You are going to pay the desperate 25 cents on their dollar. How can any of you sleep at night? The Pinelands Commissioner, when he was here, suggested to you that the maximum discount to appraise value of any TDR in the Pinelands has been no more than 10%. So I respectfully suggest you reprice your HDC as your last action of a lame duck council and price it at a 5 to 10% discount to the appraised fair market value of what has been lost by the landowners. Thank you.
Julia Simons, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I was sitting there thinking, my goodness, where was the 3 minute? I wanted to take my 3 minutes to welcome Mr. Richko. We're delighted that you're here. I understand we have another new member, Mr. Vizioli. I hope we will meet him soon. And then also to make an observation, which is that it might be a wonderful idea, since we have so many new members since this happened, new members on the council, to revisit the issue of what is a taking. Charlie Seaman made a presentation to you a number of years ago. He's considered one of this country's preeminent experts on the issue of what is a taking. If it isn't Charlie Seaman, I'm sure there are others, but it would probably be very good for our new members to learn what is a taking because there have been misrepresentations made to you today. And it would be bad to be reminded because it supports you. Thank you so much.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Islands Coalition. Council Member Alstead, you may want to recalibrate relative right or left to Mr. Shaney after this afternoon. I don't know, just a suggestion. I have a question, but I'm just going to throw it out as for your consideration. I know Executive Director Swan has mentioned that the council continues to work with Mansfield Township to become legal. I'm just curious about the implications of development in a town that has not conformed and is legally obligated to do so. So I just throw that for your consideration. And also, Councilmember Rich, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I'm here today to offer some observations about the Borealis application. Something I think that would be very useful to have as part of the analysis is a land use history of the site and perhaps even a phase one environmental analysis. The site has been an industrial site for a protracted period of time under three different owners at least. And I would suggest that you might want to look around on that property before it's disturbed. Would recommend also that you take a look at previous testimony on the site. The site has been discussed under two other processes here before the council, one being the Mansfield Wastewater Water Quality Management Plan amendment process, the other being the impervious surface calculation methodology that was proposed some time back. So there is public testimony already on the project that we would like to see included in the analysis. With regard to testing for karst conditions, we would strongly recommend that the testing protocol to be applied be reviewed by the New Jersey Geologic Survey. With regard to the buffer and grassland issues, I think it's very important to realize that Mr. Alstead's comments were great when it comes to keeping agriculture in agriculture. And I was a little disappointed that so far it seems that the recommendation is wholly contained within the plot or the lots. I would like to see perhaps the council consider the watershed in which this property sits as a basis for defining what mitigation or adjustment might be. It's quite possible that the tributary to the Muskingum River could use some buffering elsewhere. It's also quite possible that there are landowners along that waterway who are practicing agriculture, who are good farmers and who could be encouraged and helped to provide larger amounts of stream buffering than what would be available on this relatively tiny lot in the watershed. So think of these processes perhaps as catalysts for good conservation behavior in the watersheds where you're approving redevelopment activity. It's not a punitive thing, it's a voluntary thing perhaps, but using these as stimulants to get good conservation practices is probably not a bad idea. And I would agree with Mr. Rubin's last comment about the status of the relationship with Mansfield Township and how it's going to affect this application. It should make some interesting meetings. So enjoy your future and welcome to the new members. Thank you.
If there are no other public comments, I'd like to say something. I've listened to the public, and as I said at the beginning of this meeting, you are nothing but entertaining and make the meetings more interesting than they might otherwise be. I refrained today. I was very much aware of the 3-minute rule. It's a suggestion. It's a guideline. The chair has the ability to extend that time to any number that he wants to or she wants to. And today, since this is the first meeting that I'm chairing, I'm being very generous. In the future, I will pay more attention to it, especially if we have a lot of business to attend to. There's not much going on today, quite frankly. And it is always interesting to hear from the public who we agree with them or not. But as long as I am going to be chairing these meetings, I would like you all to know that I will not tolerate personal attacks by name. We've had too much of that over the last 5 years. And if I'm chairing, I will not tolerate it. I will cut the speaker off. You are all very smart people. You have the ability to frame your comments without making those personal attacks. I find them despicable, quite frankly. So that's it. Any other comments from the council members?
Well, sir.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Yes.